Hi everyone, my name is Yash. I work at Percona as a quality engineer, mainly testing databases. So recently I've been playing around with the GPUs and I was curious, like, what works, how can we run multiple models, and what are the observations that I had. So this session will be regarding how you can run multiple models, what methods you have available, and what are the good ways to, you know, do that. So the overview of this session will be, we will understand why we need to partition a GPU. We will explore GPU sharing methods. Then we will get a use case of video generation. So we will use a WAN model and test it across the multiple sharing methods. Then we will see what crashes we encounter. And then we will optimize the workload. And we will compare it with the H100 and B200 GPUs. So why should we partition a GPU? I mean, there are four key reasons which I identified. Number one, some models don't support batching, so you will have to run a particular instance of that model again. Now, you cannot get a new GPU all the time and allocate full resources to it. You need to partition it. So that's one reason. Second is your application requires a separate, you know, compute capacity of the GPU. So you need to partition it because of that. Or you want to sell the compute, so you partition GPU and you sell it like model does. So there are a couple of companies doing that. Or the last one, which is my favorite, you cannot afford another GPU. So you just have one method of partitioning. You have one GPU to play around with and you just partition that. So what methods do we have at our disposal? So there are two key ways in which you can share a GPU. The one is time-based, another is spatial-based. So temporal, that is time slicing, usually has one process allocating the entire GPU for a certain period of time. So there is a large context switch. So process one, process two, process three, they switch amongst each other as they, you know, work, and the GPU is allocated to all of them. In the spatial one, you have two methods. The first one is MPS, another one is MIC. Now, of these two methods, MPS is not strict isolation. You have a GPU, it is being shared by multiple process. MIG, however, has strict isolation. So you partition the GPU with dedicated partitions and your process is worked in isolation. So there is no, you know, problem between the processes. So, yeah. This is a table comparing the sharing methods that are available to us. You can see time slicing has full GPU availability. MPS also has the full GPU availability, but the processes are shared, sharing the GPU. MIG, however, has each process allocated certain fixed portion of the GPUs. So it is not complete GPU sharing, it is partial GPU sharing by each process. Time slicing has high context overhead, so your process runs for the particular time. It switches, so it has to put thing in memory again. Process 2 comes into the picture, it uses the GPU. So it's a large context switch overhead. MPS has context switching because there are multiple processes running. So certain context switch happens. However, on MIG, there is no context switch overhead because a process runs independently, completely isolated from other processes. So time slicing is like you are renting GPU for a certain time. It's time sensitive. So if your workload is large, you cannot run multiple workload together. Resource sensitive is MPS. So you have particular resource, but it is being shared. And if a process is using too much resources, other process might fail. So MPS is resource sensitive. MIG has fixed resource, so there is no problem regarding that. Time slicing, you can run single workload at a time, but it is running at full capacity. MPS, however, you can run 48 processes in parallel. MIG has fixed size. So the lowest size you can do is like 7. So there are 7 fixed separate instances that you can run using MIG approach. So what are the, where should we run time slicing? I mean, it's good for a workload which can wait. You don't need it urgently, and it takes little time. So those workloads are best suited for time slicing. MPS, where if you know the nature of your workload, you should focus on MPS because it uses full GPU, and you won't have to worry much about, you know, partitioning things and everything like that. MIG, however, works best for the isolated workloads. If you have a workload that requires strict isolation, no other sharing or anything like that, you focus on MIG. So quality of service is guaranteed in two things: time slicing, because it's full GPU allocation, and in MIG. However, in MPS, there is no guarantee of quality of service. I mean, what do we mean by quality of service here? By this, we mean memory bandwidth and SM usage. So that's the drawback about MPS. So what are the methods, which GPUs support which methods? So MPS and MIG is supported on all enterprise GPUs, like Ampere, Blackwell, and Hopper. They all support MPS method and MIG. Professional GPUs support MPS. Few Ampere and Blackwell based, like A6000, ADA, and all, they support MIG partitioning, provided you have the latest drivers. Then consumer GPUs support MPS, but not MIG. So these are the things you should take into consideration before you try to start partitioning things, because consumer-grade GPUs are just not useful and not manageable with the MIG workload. So let us see the first method. It's MPS. The full form is multi-process service. So essentially, it's a service running on your server. So what does this service do? I mean, it's a CUDA implementation. So you have CUDA API. Using that, there are three things which are comprising the MPS. The first one is control daemon. So this daemon is what manages the MPS server. So you have an MPS server running, which is sharing GPU connections with the clients. Client here is any process. Any process that uses CUDA is essentially the client after you have enabled the control daemon. So here you can see in the diagram that process A, B, and C, they all pass through service controller, and then multiprocess service is actually assigning GPU portions to it. So you can see the green portion is assigned to C, purple one to B, and orange one to A. So this is the basic overview of the MPS. So how can we set up MPS? Well, it's pretty straightforward. You first of all select the GPU device. So in case you have four GPUs, the numbering might be for the device 1, it will be 0. Then you have 1, 2, 3. So if you have 4 H100s, it will be named accordingly. So first of all, we select the GPU that we want, and then we start the MPS daemon. By default, this is installed on all H100s or enterprise-level servers. You don't need to install anything. It is enabled, but the daemon is not started by default. So you start it yourself. And then whenever you run any process that uses CUDA driver, it will simply act as an MPS client. So you won't have to do any other thing. Now let us see the MIG approach. What does MIG actually mean? So the MIG method, as you can see on the figure C, there is a GPU. It is partitioned into 6 instances. So there is this concept of GPU instance. Now these GPU instances are completely isolated from each other. It is a hardware-based partitioning method where there is no software, you know, switching things between the processes. It is enabled, and this is how it looks like. So a MIG instance comprises of GPU slices, and you can see in the figure D, it's an example of A100. So there are 7 different memory slices. You can see the number 5 GB. There are 8 such partitions of the memory, and 7 compute slices. So GPU slices plus GPU engines equals a GPU instance on the left-hand side. So GPU slice is basically a memory slice combination with a compute slice. And one memory size is roughly around 1/8 of the total GPU. Similarly, a compute slice is around 1/7 of the GPU. So here, for sake of simplicity, we are writing SMs as compute. So how do slices occur? I mean, can I slice compute first and then slice memory? No. First of all, you slice memory. You assign memory, and then you assign the compute to that particular sliced memory. So it has a hierarchy and a step. So you follow that step to, you know, create a MIG slice. So what are the combinations that we have? So on the left-hand side is the smallest instance combination, where a small memory is selected and a smallest isolated compute instance is selected. So it is like 1G, 5 GB instance. 1G means one compute, and 5 GB means 5 GB of VRAM. Now this workload is completely isolated from the point of view of memory because no other block of memory is added into this combination. It is the smallest combination available. And yeah, this is a small instance, so size might be issue for your workload. Then you have a multiple isolated compute instances. Now what does this mean? You have a memory slice on top, which is a combination of 4 5GB instances and one compute instances. So this entire structure is partitioned into second level where one compute is enabled within the four compute setup. So 1C4G will actually mean that you have a 4GB instance, but that 4GB instance is partitioned and one compute is used from that. So that 4G is again partitioned into four different parts. So here you can see that memory is still shared between those four computes. So essentially this might create problems if you have four isolated compute instances, but they are sharing the same memory. So your workload might, overwhelm the memory that is 20 GB and you might get some issues. There is another approach where you can have multiple large chunks of compute as well as memory. This essentially is a single instance with a large, GPU compute and memory. So yeah, there is one drawback that if your workload is not that intensive, your compute might be wasted or your memory might be wasted. It is sitting idle, so you might not be using that. So what are the overheads in MIG? I mean, you're using the MIG approach, you're getting guaranteed quality, but there is one problem with this approach. You're compromising certain things. You will compromise on certain memory leftovers, certain SM not being utilized, and there are certain combinations in which you are essentially wasting your compute capacity. So this diagram displays an H100 MIG profiles. As you can see that 1G has around 16 SMs. It is not exactly 1/7 of 132. So, I mean, you can see there are certain things which are being not added. 3G also is not exactly 3 times 16. It's more than that. So, yeah. So there are certain drawbacks of using MIG. So how do we create a MIG partition? So, as you can see from figure K, you are listing out the GPUs that you have. So we have a device named GPU0, which is an H100 80 GB instance. Then you see what are the profiles that are available to you, what are free profiles available to you, and then you partition them. So let us see how we can create a MIG instance. So first of all, we need to enable the MIG mode. This mode is not enabled by default. So you create this MIG mode using the first step. Then on the second step, you create a MIG instance on the GPU0. -i0 is basically saying that use GPU0 and create a GPU instance. CGI means GPU instance. And 9 number that you are seeing is the profile ID. You can see the profile ID on the figure L. It is. It's 3G, 40 GB. So you are creating two such instances. So 9, 9 is basically two profiles of 4G, 40 GB. Sorry, not 4G, 3G, 40 GB. So you can list individually like which GPU instance you have and which compute instance you have. You can see that step 3 and step 2, they have order. You first create a GPU instance and then you assign compute instance to it. So what are the other things that you can do with the MIG partitioning? Well, if you partition and create MIG, you can enable MPS daemon within it. So MPS is basically a service which can be managed. So yeah, you can create a combination like this. You can have variable workload like P1, P2, P3 running on MPS within a MIG instance, while you can have a completely separate isolated workload on MIG instance too. There is one more thing that you should keep in mind. If you have enabled MIG service first, you cannot create MPS. If you have MPS service enabled first, you cannot create MIG. There is an order to it, so you disable MPS daemon and then you can create MIG. So let us look at the example that we tested. So WAN 2.2 model is what we used. There are two models. One is a large 14 billion parameter one. Then there is another one, which is text input based 5 billion parameter model. The left-hand side, the larger one, uses prompt image and audio to generate a video. So I will list it out for 480 pixels, how much memory is needed, what is the constant workload. So we know the nature of this workload. Like, it stays constantly at 55 GB VRAM for a certain duration of time. But at the end, when the files are being created, it goes and shoots up to 58 GB. So peak means that particular 30 second duration. So there is a medium parameter model, which is the text input one. It generates 720p pixel videos. So we encountered out of memory. We are testing these things on MPS. And you can see in the diagram that B is where you can monitor the CUDA process. So what I did was I created a terminal, started the NVIDIA SMI, and kept it in watch. I ran two processes in the bottom shell, C and D, just to see what happens. Two of them were running. Both of them are very large models. It needs 55 GB. Now, while both of them started at the same time, they need more resource. Now, one process was able to outcompete the other one, and the other one failed. So you can see on the C that we get the out-of-memory error. Okay, so what else did we tested? We tested running 3 5 billion parameter models using MPS, where workload was constant. We were getting around 22 GB memory, equally distributed by all the processes. But just before the end, it crashed because one of them required 33 GB. And that another workload got canceled. Good thing about this is that it tells you which process is causing the issue. Like, because of process 221 and 374, things got crashed and this process exited. So what were the tests that we found? Well, you can see with this graph, we were able to run full GPU baseline tests. Time to video generation was good, but it failed in a couple of them. So this is the overview of the performance test that happened. The last one is, if you want to run a big model, you cannot do it on H100. You need a B200. So we also tested that in a B200. But there is one more method. Like, this process had around equally 22 GB usage by three processes. We can run them in certain order in which we can make sure that three of them runs properly. So yeah, this is where we use that. So we know that at the end, 30 seconds is where problem occur. So why not we simply start each process 1 minute after the other, like staggering things. You start certain things first and then wait and process other things in parallel. So we were able to successfully do that, and it took 10 minutes and 30 seconds to generate three videos, which is quite quick compared to all the workloads that we have. So changing your workflow strategy can improve your performance and throughput. Also, let us see on the B200. Like, B200 has good profiles, but you can maximum generate 3 MIG profiles, because even though it's 180 GB, it's not equally partitioned. There are certain combinations which are not useful for our workload. And same goes for the 14 billion. You can only have 2. So we tested this thing, and we were able to generate 3 large videos, and it worked in a really good time. So this is the comparison of both methods on H100 and B200. As you can see, the H100 using MPS, we were able to run 2 without any issues, 3 using staggered approach. We were only able to run one large model, but when we used B200, we were able to run three of them in parallel without any issues. Well, for the smaller model, we were able to run 5 in parallel without any issues. So that's a good thing about using a big GPU. Then for the MIG partitions, there was not much improvement. You can only have 3 based on the partitioning approach, which will be faster. But using 4, it will be a bit slower. And yeah. So what's the conclusion? There is no single method which is great. MIG partition seems really good, but it is not good at certain cases. For large models, it is recommended to use B200. You can try to fit workload, but you will need to optimize your model way more, which will compromise the quality of the output. And yeah, that's the last thing. Optimize your model as much as you can. Also, I will be having 2 more talks. One will be MIG specific, and another will be monitoring. So monitoring will be a bit more interesting, like how you can monitor the GPUs. What are the key things? So yeah, See you.
Thank you very much. Unfortunately, no time for questions, but you can grab the speaker afterwards.